Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross. You're listening to the Ringside Podcast. Ringside Podcast. You got it? It's free. Get it. Love it.
You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Still sitting at ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer, and no JK and Jeremy this week, guys. They wasn't able to be on the show because this show is about All In, and Jeremy and JK unfortunately wasn't able to make it to All In. They haven't even watched All In, so therefore their take on All In would not make sense. So why not have the person that came with me to All In and a Ringside Podcast alum? We have Clint Carroll here. Clint, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Pretty good, man.
All right, so we're going to talk All In, and also later on the show, we have an interview with another person, a friend of ours, who got to come on the show and meet up, and she's big on Twitter, Instagram, and stuff when it comes, big wrestling fan as well, Whitney McAllister. She'll be on the show. It's good to hear from a women's point of view, too, as well, and we'll break in a little bit of that discussion. So shout out to Whitney McAllister. You can follow her at McAllister8 on Twitter and Instagram, but we'll get her on the show later, and you'll hear that interview. It's pretty good. So, Clint, man, what a weekend it was in Chicago.
No sleep again.
No sleep, yeah, but it was worth no sleep.
Yes.
Want to give another shout-out to our good friend Katrina McCoy. She was with us the entire weekend as well, helped with booking the hotel and all that, and we just pretty much had to show up, and that was pretty much it. Everything, she took care of all of it. Now, we would have probably booked ourselves, but she already had it done, and helped split the cost and made it all easier. So shout out to Katrina. She's on Instagram. You can find her on Instagram at Trina Loves Cena. Yes, she's a huge Cena fan. And then I believe on her Twitter name's a little different. It's at @we_r_NXT. So she's got NXT and a WWE both tattooed on her. So she's a diehard fan.
Yeah.
We became good friends over a year ago when Matt Capitelli, our mutual friend, hooked us up at an event that we did for him. Well, OVW did for him, and we were there selling bracelets. Each one of us were selling bracelets. We just became really close. The last few times we went and see Matt before he passed away, we did it together. So it's just kind of cool how our friendship started, and Matt put us together, and I think we'll always be friends because of that. And we're already talking about with you and me and her planning a trip to some ROH shows. Yep. And stuff like that. So it's pretty exciting what we are. I mean, yeah, we're marks, we're fans, but at the same time, we're all friends, and we love the business, and we want to be a part of all that. So big shout out to her. Thanks again for allowing us to be a part of your weekend too as well. And you know, it's just some great experiences. So let's before we go down and break down All In, before we talk about it, the show, the weekend, all that, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor. Go to Collar and Elbow Brand. That's right, collarandelbowbrand.com. When you go there and use promo code Ringside, you save 10%, but also you help the Ringside Podcast out. And why not support this show? Because why? This show is awesome. Right. Sorry, Miz, we took your gimmick, but this show is awesome. But go to collarandelbowbrand.com, use promo code Ringside, save 10%, help the Ringside Podcast out. And you're going to get great apparel while you do it. Good, comfortable shirts, good, comfortable clothing, great designs, Ringside Podcasts, Collar and Elbow Brand. Go there. All right. So, Clint, all right. So, All In, we unfortunately could do StarCast the entire weekend. I know StarCast started on Thursday. You could have probably made it there, but just based on me working and taking days off, I wasn't able to get it off to go there. So we wasn't able to leave until late Friday night. It started raining really hard here in Louisville. heading up. So we kind of dealt with some little bit of traffic. Didn't quite leave. That's an hour later than we really wanted to because of traffic. I've never seen so much traffic on a Friday evening. Like, it almost like you were trying to head to work. Like, it was in rush hour morning traffic. It was crazy. Yeah. But I guess everybody was leaving town for the weekend. It makes sense when you look at it that way. But Labor Day weekend. So by the time we hit the road, it was a good, nice drive. We ran into some other rain closer to Chicago, up in north Indiana. Kind of slowed us down a little bit, but not too much. So we got there, and then we get right there, get in the hotel. Katrina's already there. We're talking to her, hanging out. I made a mistake by drinking a Starbucks coffee about an hour before we got there, maybe 2 hours before we got there, just kind of keep me awake from the drive. And it kept me awake a little longer. I couldn't go to sleep for a little bit, so y'all were pretty mad at me not being able to sleep when to talk. But when we did get to sleep, we got up pretty early on Saturday. It was kind of a crazy day because Katrina had a meet and greet with Kenny Omega and who else was it?
Kota Ibushi,
okay. It was supposed to be on Sunday, but it got moved to Saturday because of some other commitments.
Travel for them going back to Japan or something like that.
Yeah, so because of that, it caused them to have to move the meet and greet. So she was kind of like, oh, no, plans changed. I got to do that. So she kind of takes off. We're kind of, okay, we'll go on. We'll meet up with you later. I forget we were going to plan on getting there later. It was something else we were going to do, but it just kind of changed things. But we ended up going to StarCast for a little bit Saturday, you know, got to talk and interact with some good people. I think pretty much everybody, for the most part, most of the people we saw at WrestleCon, but there was a lot of people we didn't, or we maybe saw WrestleCon. At least I didn't see at WrestleCon
because of my situation.
You want to hear about that, go back to the WrestleMania After WrestleMania podcast and hear about my experience there. But so I got to interact with some other people and get some meet and greets and stuff that happened. It was pretty cool.
Some of the ones you missed from that time.
And you'll be hearing a lot of people were very, very, generous to the Ringside Podcast. You will hear a lot of different things later on with those people later, and so it's pretty cool. They were generous to me and Ringside, but it was a cool interact. We got to meet a lot of people, run into a lot of friends or fans, and just all that kind of stuff. Interact, pass out stickers, things like that. It was a cool experience, and I love the way I kind of wish that Ringside could have been a part of the StarCast Podcast Row lineup. Yep. It would have been cool, and I think you would have got some guaranteed interviews. But it just, it just didn't work out as far as maybe if they do it next year, there's a possibility we can be there. But it was pretty cool to see all that and see all the people interacting, all the line. And I thought it was done. Some people complained about the way the layout. I thought it was laid out very, very easy, very nice.
I mean, parts of it was, but then there was parts of it that wasn't because you didn't know where to go for certain things. And then because it was so spread out with certain ones, you were going from one side to the other before you realized.
Some signs would have helped. I know they had certain signs that said this is the line for this thing or this or that, but I mean, when you're dealing with Comic-Cons or things like that, they're in hotels, they're kind of spread out like that way. They're in different rooms. I mean, WrestleCon was all packed into one.
And give it that, it was a lot easier with them spread out that way. You're not all jammed in one room, and you don't have to worry about trying to get around and bump into people. You were able to just free flow, walk around, no problem.
And I feel like there was a lot more people there. I mean, I know WrestleMania has a lot more people overall coming to an event. But I felt like there was a lot more people at StarCast than it was at WrestleCon, in just my opinion.
I'm pretty sure they might have more people because just the ebb and flow of people just daily coming through.
Yeah.
You've seen tons of people walking around, but you never really had, like, where, like, at WrestleCon, you turn around and you're bumping into people because everyone's trying to be in one spot because they try to cram everybody in that one ballroom.
Right, right.
Which, for them, they had it spread out, and the kind of way they had it where you had certain people on certain days, and some people did it all 4 days. And then, see, at WrestleCon, you might have one person there for just one day, then they wasn't there for the rest of the weekend.
Right.
So
it was a nice. I thought it was great, laid out very well. I heard that maybe Friday was a little bit more chaotic than Saturday and Sunday. So I don't know. I mean, I think even Whitney. You heard later on the podcast mention that too, but it's like I said, overall I thought it was a great experience, great time, great thing. I enjoyed that Saturday. Of course, that day we head to the show, We grab some meat. We grab something to eat. Head to the show. We get there. Get there very early. Go to walk in. Get through the gate. See this. Figure out. Okay, where's the merch line? There's two spots for merch on each corner, on each of the back of the arena. This is the Sears Center. Now the Sears Center is the only thing that really goes on there besides like graduations for the local schools and those other towns around. They do graduations there. And I know this because I have family in that area, so they kind of told me. But also, the Windy City Bulls, which is the D-League for the Chicago Bulls, plays their games there. So that's pretty much the only event. They have other events every so often there.
Concerts once in a while.
Concerts once in a while, but mostly they're smaller venues. They're not, the concerts are going to go to Allstate or United Center or something like that for the bigger people. It was great. I mean, it's actually in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. Now, StarCast happened in Schaumburg, which is another suburb, right? I mean, within – they're all 10 minutes from each other, all these suburbs. So we get in there. We see this long line. We're going to the merch, and we realize this is the merch line. And somebody was like, this line's moving faster than the other side. The other side's an hour long. I'm going, oh, wow, okay. So we get in line. It's kind of split up into two lines. But when we get in the line, we realize as we get closer, it goes into one. But it wasn't moving faster. We were in that line for an hour and 15 minutes.
Hour and 20 minutes.
The show started at 5 for 0 hour, 5 local time, central time for 0 hour.
We missed the first match.
The first match, which was the tag
Briscoe's
match, right?
And SCU.
Yeah, Briscoe's and SCU. Okay. They had a screen you can watch and all that, so it was pretty cool. But we did miss that because we're in line for merch. Luckily, I got up there. Everything I wanted wasn't sold out. I think you had experience with some of the stuff you were sold out as far as sizes.
Only one, it was a T-shirt. They didn't have 2X, so I had to get a 3, which that's fine. But everything else was perfect.
Yeah.
Had no problem with anything else. Had everything.
So got the merch, got the stuff, went on. We go on to our seats. We get to our seats. We have a problem finding them. We're like, what is going on? I can't find the seats. And the section we were in was like a smaller section. And come to find out, it was actually, and I don't know, we didn't put on the, when we ordered the tickets, we didn't put on there we needed wheelchair access. But apparently it was like a wheelchair access section for a handicap, which is fine. I mean, they had seats that were, it's just, you have that row to have wheelchair there too. And then you have seats that are folded. So we get there, we don't handle seats. Like, our seats are not there. We have seats 1 and 2 on the end, and they're taken, basically. They're gone. Yeah. But it didn't have the row. I'm, like, confused. So we talked to the person. They're like, you go down this row. We went down one way. It's not it. It was like, okay, we went back up. Finally, we saw some usher, and we're like, hey, what's going on with our seats? And she's looking. She goes, oh, hang on. She's kind of looking around, and she goes, would you mind sitting on the other side? And we're like, no, we don't mind sitting on the other side as long as we're in seats or whatever. It's okay. So she goes, okay, let me find you some chairs. And we're like, okay. So she leaves. What, about 20 minutes?
Yeah, at least.
She comes back, and I see her lay down chairs, but it's up against the curtain. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be further back, all the way further. We're supposed to be up closer than that. Didn't say anything to her. I just let her come to us. And I kind of jokingly said something to Clint. I was like, maybe we'll get upgraded because of because we don't have our seats. And he was like, yeah, that'd be cool. And I'm just jokingly saying it. She comes back to us and goes, hang on, guys. I'm going to see about relocation. I was like, okay. So then she leaves again for about another 10 minutes. And I'm just like, all right, I wonder where she's going to relocate us. So I'm kind of looking around going, So then she comes back and says, you know what? It's your lucky day. We never do this, but you're going to be happy. Follow me. Didn't tell us anything else, so we're just walking blindly with her, blind leading the blind, I guess.
For a good couple minutes.
Yeah, we're walking all the way around the other side of the arena and where the other merch line was. And so finally she stops and says, okay, so this is where the Windy City Bulls play, as you can see, and what we're going to do is put you in their private suite. And I'm like, okay. It's like, you're okay with that? I'm like, yeah. Then she jokingly says, don't tell anybody, because we don't want your friends. We can't get everybody. We don't want your friends coming in here. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Well, I tweeted everybody. Sorry. So anyways, so she puts us in there, and we had amazing seats, way better private. We had recliner chairs that had rollers on them. I mean, the most comfortable seat I've ever sat in my life for a show.
This couldn't be any better than just.
I mean, I've sat in suites. I've sat in the suite section of the Colts game, and those seats were nice. I mean, as far as comfortable chairs, but they were still like big stadium kind of seats with cushions. They wasn't like recliner chair. Like, this was a whole new different world.
Yeah, this could be any better seats I've ever had for a show besides being front row.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, this was absolutely perfect.
Right. It was perfect. I mean, we're right. I mean, it was, you'll see some of the pictures.
Almost,
I mean, yeah.
Dead center.
Yeah, almost dead center. I mean, but it was center enough to see the, them come out. I mean, it was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And then come and find out the guys next to us was like, they same thing kind of similar happened to
I
them.
I think it so happened that, to a handful of people,
yeah, because there was more people that kept coming in
slowly
later. So that's probably what they hold that suite for, is for people that mess up seats, they upgrade you, which is fine. I mean, I'm cool. Hey, it's a cool
experience.
It's the
best $35 seat we spent.
Best $35. And when we tell the person next to us what we paid, they go, did you buy them when they went on sale? We're like, yeah. They go, oh, we didn't get them. We paid $150 or something on StubHub. And I'm like, even $150 was worth those seats. So
exactly.
Best $35 I've ever spent in my life. Shout out to the Sears Center for taking care of the Ringside Podcast. That's great. But so we're there. We enjoy the show. We watch it. And what an amazing show it was. I mean, we got to see the last pretty much half hour or so of Zero Hour, because most of the time we're standing and watching the rest of the show standing up.
Because by the time we got there, they just getting ready to start the Battle Royal, I believe.
Yeah, and they were coming out. So the Battle Royal was happening as we were going to our seats. So we really pretty much seen most of all the Battle Royal other than them coming out and announcing everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great show, great experience as far as that goes. I guess we'll break down each match. I loved in the Battle Royal how everybody got their stuff in. But it was, you had your comedy, you had your high moments, your low moments. You had pretty much everything you wanted in the Battle Royal. I mean, it was good.
I've heard from other people saying that's probably one of the best book Battle Royals in a while due to, everyone had a spot and like a highlight of what each one almost, and it was able to showcase almost everybody in a way that was able to get through. And they said that was one of the best Battle Royal books in a long time.
So it was real good. And of course, one of the main gimmicks going on throughout the whole entire promoting All In and the last few months is that Flip Gordon is not going to be booked on the show. He's book Flip, and that's just like gimmick. They're not booking Flip through, you know, you watch The Elite and all that stuff. It's kind of an ongoing.
Even on ROH TV, they've done it a couple times.
Yeah, so it's kind of an ongoing thing with his gimmick. So they're trying to get Flip booked. He's not booked to show up, but they have all these wrestlers. And one of the wrestlers ends up being a luchador. What was the character's name? Do you remember?
I do not remember. I don't remember what the name that he went by.
So a luchador comes out in a mask and wrestles. Well, part of the Battle Royal, he gets
powerbombed through a table by Bully Ray.
Bully Ray, but it's on. But he never was.
And you don't see him. It happened at the very, very beginning.
And he never went. He never went in the. Was he ever in the ring?
No, he was never in the ring until he slid in it at the very end.
Okay, so he never was officially eliminated from. The never really was in the, so he was still in the match, but people kind of forgot about him because after the very beginning
he was laying on the floor the whole time.
So you see all this stuff. It came down to you know, you see moments where Billy Gunn and his son kind of did this old little thing where they, you know, which Austin Gunn is pretty much doing Billy Gunn's gimmick.
Yes,
for the I mean,
it's
entire
image.
Which is weird because it's like, dude, you were like 5 years old when he was. He's doing DX stuff, but anyways.
He needs something different.
So doing all that, and then so there's like a whole little gimmick thing going on with them. Colt Cabana is in there with Bully Ray. They're doing some. They do a deadly spot.
They're doing their thing because Colt Cabana and Bully thing have been having kind of a little feud on ROH TV.
Yeah, so there's that going on, and so all this stuff is happening, and so it comes down to where basically Colt Cabana looks like he's about to win, and then Bully Ray looks like he wins the. Wins it, Battle Royal, and people, and all of a sudden, after he looks like he wins it, no one's left in the ring. The luchador slides back in the ring, and then basically eliminates. Did he eliminate before he takes off his mask?
No, he took his mask off, then eliminated.
Okay, I couldn't remember that part, but so basically, you see, it's Flip Gordon. The crowd goes nuts. He eliminates Bully Ray. He wins it. Flip Gordon is now booked because the winner faces
Jay Lethal for the ROH Heavyweight Title.
So he's booked to the show. People go nuts. Great wave in. Great way they booked the entire
Battle Royal.
It was awesome. Loved the story. Love everything. So you got investment in, okay, this is who won. Now we can't wait to see him again wrestle the match. And you only seen Flip Gordon for a few minutes, so it's not like he really wrestles. So he's not doing double duty, although he is. So it's a little bit better. So it goes on. You get on 0 hours over, and now we start All In. All In had a nice card announced, but the start of the show, there was a match that was took place that was not announced. And it was started off with who was it again?
The Matt Cross,
yeah, and
MJF.
MJF? Mm-hmm. MJF, yeah. So it was a decent match to start off the card. I mean, it was my, I guess, my least favorite match of the whole show, but it was a good, I mean, it started off a match.
It was a solid match, but nothing spectacular.
I would expect, it would have been, to me, my opinion, if I'm going to pick a match to start it off, the show, I would have think maybe a good match to start, which ended up being second, maybe a good match to start the show would have been the Stephen Amell match. But this match was okay starting off, and maybe that was the original plan. Was at the start until they added this one at the last minute, or when they added it, I don't know. But maybe they realized, okay, looking at time-wise, we're going to have 10 minutes more. Well,
going down the road, they had a lot of time a little bit farther off.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that when we get there. But so anyways, it was a decent match, and so that was, you know, I mean, it's as JK would say on the show, it was a match, and it happened.
Yeah.
So... So now we go on to the next, which was the Stephen Amell Christopher Daniels match, and I was impressed. I thought this match was great.
It was very solid, and I was surprised with. I know he's only had a couple of matches, I think.
Yeah,
but you can tell that he's been working on it and learning. So it turned out to be a really solid match.
Yeah. And what's good about
it doesn't help you got a guy that's been in the ring for 25 plus years.
Yeah, true. And then also Jerry Lynn was a special guest referee for this, wasn't he? Yeah. So that was kind of cool to see that moment too as well. And a lot of surprise, like a lot of different surprises as far as people being there in the crowd or in somebody's entourage. And we'll talk about that as we get going on. One big surprise too, which I did call it on this show a while back, but we'll get to that later. But it was pretty awesome match, and I thought Christopher Daniels definitely helped carry that match, obviously. But Stephen Amell did his. I mean, he took a table bump.
He did that. I mean, he hung with him.
Yeah.
So I mean, he was able to keep up with him, which, even though he's 40 something years old, Daniels can still go.
Yeah, oh yeah, he can still go for sure. But what I love about Stephen Amell too is you can tell he respects the craft. Mm-hmm. And he wants it. He wants to be better. And I could see him being, you know, doing this more often. I mean, maybe his matches will be few and far between. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him in some more RA shows or other shows. And I mean, definitely if there's All In too, he'll be there. You know, he'll be a part of it some way. You know, he did. It's great. I mean, WWE had a chance to really use him, but you know, they used him, but they could have done more with him. But obviously. You know, being with his friends with Cody, this kind of makes more sense for him. So decent match, and then we go on after that match. Of course, after the match, Christopher Daniels won, which makes sense. He should win. He's the veteran. He shouldn't let some guy beat him like that. So makes sense. But the good thing afterwards is that there was a nice hug, and he basically gave him like, "Look, you, this is your moment too. I mean, look what you've done," and it was rightfully so. It should have ended that way. Next up, we have the women's Fatal 4-Way match, which I'm shocked that I'm kind of upset that it was the only women's card on the match.
They could have used
the match.
One more match.
They could have, and I think you had the talent was in town for it, and maybe in the future, maybe next year, whatever, there'll be more than one women's match. But my goodness, these four women tear it up.
Oh yeah, the match was ridiculously good.
So you had the match was. Madison Rain, Tessa Blanchard, Britt Baker, is that her name? Yeah. And then Chelsea Green. So Chelsea Green's character is the whole,
she went by Laurel Van Ness and Impact. And then there was a storyline where she got married and the guy left her at the altar.
Yeah.
And then she kind of went psycho.
So she's like half of her gimmick is a wedding and she's kind of like bipolar a little bit, which I love the gimmick. I mean, it's great. She's owning it. She's doing a great job. And man, did these girls kill it? I mean, unbelievable.
The match was phenomenal. Everything about it was awesome. I mean, there wasn't a bad part of the match.
No, I love how, and we talked to Chelsea about this later at StarCast the next day. How she got the woo-woo-woo in, because, you know, she's dating Zack Ryder. And one of the people, and I asked her, and she said she heard it. She goes, it happens all the time, but where everybody's real quiet and somebody yells, woo, 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 you know, real loud. And she's like, yeah. And I said, yeah, it's kind of like what AJ was wrestling. They chanted CM Punk and all that. I mean, I get it. But
yeah.
But the woo, you know, chanting is one thing, but just somebody throwing out a woo, 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 that, to me, that's a little bit, I like that a little better. But man, and she got the woo, woo, woo in, and she did, they said it wasn't, she said they added it the last, in the match because, she said they wasn't planned, but she just said, I'm just going to go with it. There's a spot here. I can do it. And,
yeah.
And somebody was like, yeah, just do it. And so she did it. It was great. And the crowd went with it, and it was awesome. And it wasn't, what I loved about this show too, I'm going to give a shout out to Chicago and all the people around. No, there was no fans trying to take over the show. There was no hijacking of the show. They chanted, they respected, they booed who they needed to boo. They cheered who they needed to cheer. When Colt Cabana was out there, was no CM Punk chance. Although we jokingly was like CM Punk just to see. But I mean, we were just, it was a joke between a couple of us sitting around. But no, the crowd did not try to do that. None of, and they could have easily done that if they wanted
to. They could have done it all night long.
But it's almost like they respected what they do. And it kind of makes sense when you look back at what WB does, is that the fans try to hijack it because they're so displeased with the show. And now I'm one of those that, like,
their way of getting a response.
I'm one of those that's like, hey, let's enjoy the show. Let's take in, let's chant, let's boo who we need to boo, cheer who we need to cheer, all that. I don't want to try to do the opposite just to get on the show. I'm not one of those people. So I wish the fans would be more like that, like they're they were at it all in on WWE. But I just like that they didn't try to hijack the show, and it was great.
Plus, they were actually seeing what they wanted to see.
True, they were. And so that match was great. Tessa Blanchard wins.
She's one of my favorites. She's phenomenal.
Yeah, she is. She's great. And she just the day after, she just announced a WOW.
Yeah, she signed with WOW.
WOW. So that's pretty awesome, and I'm sure she'll do well there. But yeah, she won, and it was great. The ending looked like it was a botch ending, but it was not. It just made you think that all the girls hugged in the middle. History was made. It was phenomenal. And I haven't watched it back on TV. I know you have, I think.
Yes.
I'm curious how the commentary went when you had
the I heard some people say that there was issues with the comment or the sound on the paper. I watched it and I didn't see any.
They could have been streaming it on something and caused it to go out. But
mostly, like what I saw, because I ordered it on pay per view as well, and it just came off perfect. Like I said, like it had a WCW look, but with a ROH/NXT kind of crowd.
Yeah, and that's exactly what. That's we talked about that. That's what it looked like. WCW look, but a NXT ROH feel to it, which is great. You don't want a WCW feel. I don't mind the WCW look. I mean, I'm fine with that. I can't remember. It was the ropes. Were they rope or were they cables on that show?
I believe they were cables, but they had like electrical tape on them.
I'll have to go back and try to look at.
I'm pretty sure they were.
Because cables. I was watching something today at WCW, and I looked at the cable. I like the cable look. I do. I mean, no,
they have a great look, but they're not, like a lot of people say, they're a lot slicker than like the ropes.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I mean, I'm sure
because WCW, they had cable ropes for years.
Yeah,
I don't know if they ever switched them, but
they never did. They never switched them. And like I said, I like the cable ropes. I'm not against the cable ropes at all. They look nice. I mean, of course, I'm not wrestling in them, so I don't know how it feels to wrestle in those. So I can't all of a sudden say, oh, well, I like it or whatever. You know, I like it because of this or that when I'm, like I said, I'm not the one wrestling. So maybe wrestlers may not like them.
I'm looking
at them right here. They look to be ropes. They just had a very slick look to almost look like cable from a far distance. But looking at them up close now, they look to be ropes. That match was great. And, on the next match we had was, let's see here, you had, I can't remember which one was next. Was it the, did the Cody Rhodes match follow this one?
It might have, the Hangman, Joey Janela match was after Rhodes and,
okay.
Aldis.
I believe this match followed. I believe Cody Rhodes number next.
Third.
Which I was shocked to be third. I think
they had some placement issues. I would say there's a couple of them I would have put in with it being the NWA title and Cody Rhodes and all the stuff being part of it. that no matter what, any world title match really should be the main event.
Yeah. And so I like the way they built this up. It was a great, I mean, it was a big match atmosphere, which it was, but it made you feel you had Earl Hebner as a special guest referee. You know, you had, it just was amazing. The entourage coming out and how they showed you it in the back wall leading up, like it was a boxing ring where they showed you with their entourage. You had
like
Cody Rhodes.
I heard on the thing, it was like the Goldberg entrance for both of them.
Yeah, well, but if you look at any MMA fighter, any boxing match,
any kind of,
that's how they come in. They come in like they show from the back building. That's what, WrestleMania did that one year with when Mike Tyson was the referee. Which
they've done as far as back as like
Brett and Shawn. They did it with that too.
They did it for them. Every once in a while, they will pull it out for certain people, but stuff like that, you.
And this needed to have that feel, but you had Cody with his entourage, which is all kind of his father's friends being there supporting him. You had DDP, you had.
With all this, you had some former champions.
Yeah. Right. You had former NWA champions, but they came out. This was great. The DDP. Was important because you see him with his entourage, and then you see Otis. You saw
Jeff Jarrett,
but then you saw a Glacier, and was Glacier with? Yeah, Glacier was with him. And then who was the, what's his name?
Tim Horton, which is the one that Otis beat for the NWA title back almost close to a year ago.
Who was the one that used to be in WWE?
Daivari,
yeah. He was out there, and so, like I said, it was important to see them, and you'll see why later, because when the match started, by the way, Brandi Rhodes is fine. Anyways, when the match started, you know, you had this spot where Cody Rhodes jumps on the outside, gets kind of a forearm, and then it looks like he's knocked out. Earl Hebner does the X like he's hurt, you know, and I guess this is where he gets busted open. And then DDP comes out to check on him, and then Daivari comes out too, and they have this big little moment or whatever. He gets in the ring, and he's trying to, and all of a sudden DDP gives him the diamond cutter, And so it was kind of like, okay. Well, then finally, Cody's like, no, I'm fine. He gets back in the ring. They have the match. And they have an amazing match.
Yes.
An amazing match.
It had
match.
An old-school feel to it.
It had a very old-school feel with it. And there was
a
lot of...
they were doing things.
And the crowd hated Nick Aldis. I mean, they hated him. Aldis, they hated him for sure. And I mean, it was like Cody got what a... By the way, in his entrance... What a entrance. I mean, the crowd was so behind him, chanting Cody. It was amazing. Like, he was...
Because they've been building this match for at least a good 4 to 5 months, if not longer, even using ROH TV.
It's been amazing. And that match was by far, bar none, one of the... I mean, it was probably my favorite match of the night, just because of the whole... Everything that happened and with the build-up and Cody... And so Cody wins, obviously... Gets the NWA championship. Great moment, great energy. I mean, the crowd was going nuts. It just was perfect. Night.
That would have been, honestly, that would be the perfect way to end the show.
Yeah.
Because I would have.
It would have been a perfect way to end the show.
That's the way I would have done it. Because I'm just an old school person where they like, no matter what, the world title should be last. It should have been.
And there's a reason why I think. They ended it the way they did it, and we'll get to that. And I think there was more. We didn't get to see more to come, but there was a reason. I even said to everybody we thought it was going to be last. I said there's a reason why this is not last, and we'll find out in the last match. I trust them enough, and we kind of I don't think didn't because of what happened with time. But so the match was great. It you know goes on, and then next up was the Hangman Page, which you saw the build up with that is that Joey Ryan. During the Elite, basically Joey Ryan got killed, so to speak,
by Hangman Page.
By Adam. So Hangman Page killed him, and so therefore killed him in the boots he was wearing and all
boots
this stuff.
And he hit him with a telephone, I think.
Yeah. So telephone and boots. So they show this on the screen ahead of time because you need to know this going into this match.
Yeah, because for months now, every time you see Hangman Page, he's not wearing shoes.
Yeah.
So as part of the thing, every time you seen him, he had no shoes on.
Yeah, and so Joey Ryan basically he killed him. He killed his penis, whatever, because that's his gimmick, the penis gimmick. So you see this match is Hangman Page versus Joey. What Joey?
Janela
and Penelope, was that the girl's
Penelope
name?
Penelope Ford, yes.
So hot. So I've never seen these guys wrestle before. I've seen him in Page, but not Joey.
I've seen Joey Janela at an IWA show. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
he's one of those type. He's a decent technical wrestler, but he's more known for, especially in the Northeast, for a lot of the hardcore stuff he does.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of hardcore stuff, but him himself, he's awesome. And that is the first time I've seen her in person. She's awesome.
Yeah, they did. It was kind of like a Chicago street style fight match, and they did kind of like that. Along with, there was a lot of comical gimmicky stuff. They did smoke and mirrors, which Crocker Barrel was one of the sponsors. What a great way they brought an actual Crocker Barrel. They did this whole kind of Donkey Kong thing with a rolling and you jump in the barrel, and it was good stuff. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. It was good classic stuff. Penelope got in the ring, did some spots, did a stunner. All these, you know, there was a spot on the top rope going through a table too as well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Or through a ladder. Yeah.
Well, they done. Adam Page picked him up and put him in. Did the burning hammer off the apron through a ladder.
Yeah,
which was
it looked sick.
It looked sick.
Yeah,
and they took ridiculously bumps.
They did a great. It was a great match. This was the match that I wasn't too much invested in, so this is the match I think I went and used the restroom or something. I left. But when I came back, I missed some stuff.
The match was...
But it was hard to pick. Because I looked at the card going, I have to find a match that I have to go and, you know, get a drink or whatever, yeah. And this was happening. And I ended up...
One after another. There wasn't... You had a small... Slit in
and everybody and every, between all the when there was a break, you saw everybody running because no one wanted to miss anything. You never seen like there's usually always a match at WWE where that's the match everybody runs to
exactly.
But you couldn't do that with this match. You couldn't do this show.
I threw Jay Lethal at Book or Flip.
Yeah, which you missed one. I think there was something you missed.
I just missed the entrance.
Okay, the entrance. Yeah, that's what you right before that match. So it was great. And after the match happened. All of a sudden, the video wall comes on again, and Joey Ryan's had a resurrection of his penis, basically erected. And then all of a sudden, you hear this music, and it's porn star music, and you see these droids like penises coming down, penis droids, yeah, like kind of like this whole Undertaker spoof thing, and. Here comes Joey Ryan out of it, and he gets in the ring. This is important because they pull out the boots and the telephone.
Right towards the finish of the match, they put a ladder and put a table right next to the ladder, and they right before that they pull a bag of out and.
It kind of looked like a Jake Roberts snake. Like
a, well, that yeah. or a trash bag, one yeah, of the two. Yeah, because they had two of them. One had. The pair of boots that he wore, and then the other one had the telephone.
Yeah.
Get up on the ladder, Hangman Page is hitting him with the telephone, and then hitting him with the boot, and then he does the rite of passage off the ladder through the table. It pins 1, 2, 3.
Right. So that's kind of, they use that, so it kind of paid back to, okay, this is what he did. So then Joey Ryan comes out.
Supposedly he's the Joey killer.
Yeah. So Joey Ryan comes out, he puts the lollipop in his pants, does the whole penis suplex, puts it in his mouth, he does the whole gimmick thing, and all of a sudden people go nuts, and then the penis droids take
Adam Page
and like carry him off, and then you hear a rest in penis chant, so that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I can't stand Joey Ryan.
I don't, like, me personally, I laughed.
I've met him once, he's alright, I mean, he's a cool guy, but the whole stuff he does,
here's the thing, I know
it's a comedy thing. Because, you know, every era of wrestling has their stupid comedy. You can go back all the way to the Attitude Era. Some of that stuff is, but he's this era's version of stuff
it's,
like that.
I'm glad my 8-year-old wasn't there, but it's one of those things I laughed, it was funny, but I don't need this on a wrestling show, I really don't, but I get it while they do it, I get the whole gimmick thing, but honestly, like me personally, I don't care for it.
No.
But it did make me laugh. It's fine. It I'm okay with humor.
It was funny. Then it was over.
Yeah, right, but I think they did it well. They brought it in at the end. Boom! You got your 5 minutes of it, and it's gone.
Yeah.
They didn't overshoot it, overplay it, constantly kill you with it. It was like, here it is, ha ha. Boom! It's gone. You know, and they never get brought up again. You didn't see a replay of it. You didn't see them back again. It just was perfect. So. That I have to say, I like how they did it that way, and I know Cornette, even our pal Kenny Bowen was even just going nuts about it the other night when I was hanging out with him, and I was like, look, it was funny. It came in for the right moment. They didn't overshoot it. They did whatever. It is what it is. I could have done without it. I'm not mad that they put it in there either. You know, it's not like one of those things. But I know Jim Cornette is gone nuts on, I'm sure, on this podcast already.
Yeah.
Vince Russo probably hates it too. I don't know about Eric Bischoff.
Funny thing is, Vince Russo would have probably booked something like it 20 years ago.
Who knows? Next up, the next match you had, I believe this was the ROH title match,
yeah,
between Jay Lethal and Flip Gordon.
Flip Gordon.
Was awesome. Jay Lethal comes out with Lanny Poffio and his Macho Man gimmick that he did years ago in TNA. Well, he did it in TNA.
He went by Black Machismo for years. Until some people took it over and they wanted him to be more serious with it because they got tired of the little comedy gimmick.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Even though he does a hell of a great personation of him.
He does. Now, I don't like it. I don't think he does a great... His elbow drop is not as good.
He has a good elbow drop. He just... It depends on... Sometimes he hits it real well, sometimes he don't. But like I said, I'd rather it have been just Jay Lethal instead.
They had that moment where... it's kind of silly, but they... Lanny Poffio touches him on the shoulder and turns it on, and then later Brandy touches him and turns it off.
Yeah.
But what I like with Brandy coming out with Flip Gordon was that Brandy was the Miss Elizabeth part of it, and they did that whole spot. And there was a nice little Hogan Macho Man. Flip Gordon did the bulk up thing. It was funny, but at the same time, it was a good match. It wasn't like that's the kind of comedy I like when they throw that in the middle of it, and it wasn't over top, over crazy. It wasn't stupid. It was good stuff. And you got Jay Lethal. You got actually Jay Lethal. He was just still dressed as Macho Man. But he did a great job.
He does the same everything. He's awesome. I've always been a big fan of Jay Lethal.
Of course, Jay Lethal had to win. It's not an ROA show. You can't use the title. So we kind of knew he would win. But how he would do it, we see. Sure. But he won.
And just having Poffo there was cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't make a ton of appearances a year.
Yeah.
It's very rarely that he does for any shows.
Yeah, it was cool to him there, and it made sense, and it was good to kind of pay homage to Macho and all that too. It was cool. Which we couldn't believe there's still like at this point like four matches left or three matches left, I guess. And then you had, I think
it was Omega.
It was
Pentagon.
It was Omega and Pentagon Jr. I've never seen these guys in person at all. I've seen a handful of Omega matches, so I was pretty excited about finally seeing Kenny Omega for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people in that arena was.
I've seen him live before. I've seen him at a couple ROH shows because from time to time throughout the year he does make appearances for Ring of Honor. He'll do a tour with them from time to time.
Yeah,
and I've seen. I think the first time I seen Pentagon in person was. Actually, the Impact Lucha Underground show that we went to in New Orleans.
Yeah, and it was, it was really good. And, great match, great stuff.
I believe that was the very first time they've ever wrestled each other.
Yeah, it was awesome. What a show they put on. What a story they told. What a match. Kenny Omega goes over. And it should have went over. You can't
even lose. Plus, he's the IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, you can't. But the match is over. Pentagon is laying in the mirror ring, and all of a sudden the lights kind of go out, and they go out for a little bit for good. Not like a go out for like 10 seconds and back on. They were out for probably about 30 seconds.
Yeah, at least.
And we're like, what's going on? Like, we were looking, going, is something going to happen? Now we're not close down. So when the lights go out from where we're sitting, it's black around the ring. So you don't hear fans getting, you don't hear anything, and then come back on and they look and Omega's still kind of in the ring, and then at the moment we're thinking, oh, this is probably like they probably had a technical issue, something happened, and then kind of Kenny's looking, still waving at the crowd. Pentagon's still laying in the ring, so I'm like, okay, so that definitely had to be a technical issue. All of a sudden Pentagon gets up and then starts wailing into Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
And immediately I'm like, wait a minute. And you were the one that said this. You immediately go, it's Jericho.
Yeah.
And I'm, as soon as you said it, I've noticed the tattoos on his arms. I'm going, it is Jericho. Well, of course,
I can tell by his face.
I'm kind of going nut. I'm recording it. The people next to me go, what is this? And I yell, Jericho. And the guy sitting next to us is kind of confused too. And I'm videoing the whole thing. I got it on video. I've shared it. It's amazing. Going nuts. And all of a sudden, he does the code breaker. When he does the code breaker, everybody goes nuts. They knew at that point it was Jericho. Yep. And then he takes the mask off. He has his face painted. Shows on the screen. It is Jericho. Once again, people are going nuts.
He hits him with another code breaker.
And then he grabs the mic and says, Kenny Omega, I'll see you on the Jericho Cruise. What a way. And then he hops in the crowd and takes off. And apparently, not only does he take off to the crowd, he takes off to the back, hops straight into a car, takes off to the airport, travel, and takes a flight to Kansas City.
We found this after the show was over with.
So he comes in. He did the show in Little Rock, Arkansas the next night before. He comes in, gets there about 5:30, does that spot and leaves and goes, makes it to his Fozzy gig in Kansas City. It's like, what the crap?
I saw a video later that night that he was on stage still wearing the makeup.
He was still wearing the makeup, tells the crowd why. Wow. Jericho's amazing. I'll pop. I'm a huge Jericho mark. You all know that. So it was an amazing moment just to promote a cruise that in a match.
The cruise is, I think it's Halloween weekend.
Yeah. I had a feeling Jericho was going to show up, and I said it on the podcast. And some people said, "Well, he's Fozzy's plan. He's not going to be there. He's not going to be at the show." And I'm going, trust me, Jericho can make it happen. He almost showed up at WrestleMania, even though he booked a watch party of WrestleMania. He almost still made it happen. Mm-hmm. But the Friday before, Vince decided not to. So it's like they were going to still make it happen where he can show up to do the spot with Elias. They could have definitely done it easily. So the fact that made it happen, it was great. And yes, he's been telling everybody forever he'll never work in the United States because he owes that to Vince. But well, you know what? He showed up and did a spot in All In in Chicago. Yeah. So
I mean, it wasn't one of those low budget things either, but that was.
No, it was a big thing. And I loved it. I wish I could go on the Jericho Cruise, period. But now I'm like, man, I really wish I could go because that would be awesome. Then the match before the main event, you had Marty Scurll versus
Okada.
Great match.
The match was tremendous, but this is where it comes with the time cues. I don't know how you can go 10 to 12 minutes over.
Well, when you're watching the match, I've noticed. Remember,
we noticed there's another referee
that ran down the ring and hopped the guard and kept going over. And I'm like,
because they had really not a special guest referee, but he's the legendary. Red Shoes, they call him. I can't think of his name.
Can't think of his name either. But he was refereeing, and I don't know if it was like a language gap or whatever. Something was going on where it seemed like they couldn't get him to go home, and the other ref comes down, and they're chanting, they're doing all this stuff, and
they could never get their attention.
I don't know what happened, but you could tell it was going over. We could see that. You could see that they were trying to rush it. And when the ref got out there, they still were another 12, 13 minutes after.
Yeah, I mean, it was good 10 to 12 minutes long. Compared to what it was supposed to be.
But either way,
it was a tremendous match.
But they did that. The match was over. Next up, main event, you had the Young Bucks. And then you had
Kota Ibushi versus Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido.
And when they came out, something was wrong with the entrance. You almost looked like the entrance was supposed to be different than what they did. It was rushed as well. Young Bucks come out. It looks, they come out. Of course, they start off with a bang. It was an amazing start of the match. But I kept getting things that you could tell they were getting fast. Everything was fast, like on boom, 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 just constantly. And I was like, now this is great, but I felt you could tell that they were just constantly hitting spots over and over.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, the only bad part I noticed watching it back on TV, probably around the 5 to 6 minute mark, you hear on TV, go home.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. That's the only bad part out of the whole thing.
Well, I mean, NXT, but the NXT referee was doing that stuff too. You can hear that.
I don't know if it was from the referee or what. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like saying, go home. But then they go at least another 5 to 6 minutes before they actually finish the
match. Maybe the go home was a long period of 5 minutes. Sometimes go home could have been now it's time to go home. Oh, no, we missed 10 minutes of wrestling. So they basically finished the match, and it was done. And after the match, which I thought was kind of neat, is that you have the Young Bucks, you have Cody come out, you have Kenny Omega, you have all of them come out, and they jokingly said, As you can tell,
we had to
beat them fast, you know, and they laughed. And it was like,
soon on the TV version of it, as soon as that pin, it wasn't not even 5 seconds, the end of the credits were on.
Well, they said, well, according to Young Bucks, said they had 3 seconds. Yeah. And then later they said that, they said it might have been 3 minutes, but it's 3 seconds sounds more like it.
It was more like three
they
seconds.
They finished with 3 seconds to spare.
Yeah.
And
which is good. At least they were able to get the entire pay-per-view
right
on there. With, and now if they would have went over and tough, that would have been a little bit of an issue. But for the most part, they were able to get everything in that span of time.
Rey Mysterio thinks everybody at the end. He leaves. Like I said, Young Bucks, all of them, all the guys come out. They have a nice 15 to 20 minute moment in the ring. I recorded the whole entire thing. I'm sure it's on YouTube, other places too. But it was pretty amazing what they did, what they experienced, what they went through on that. And hearing them, it just was an emotional moment, and not a single. I mean, there may have been. I would say not a single. There was probably 5% left, but there was. There was everybody was still in the arena for the most part, and because we saw a couple people leaving, but they could have went to the restroom, could have went wherever. But we're watching. I mean, this moment was amazing, and I wanted to, and everybody wanted to be a part of it. And they didn't. They kind of teased it all into, but didn't. You know, they kind of teased.
Yeah, Cody just wants to say, "Do double or nothing."
Yeah, double or nothing. It was just a great moment experience with that. And I'm just, you know, as far as everything happens, you know, I enjoyed the entire weekend, entire show, and I'm excited. I hope there is an All In Two, and I hope they keep it somewhere close where I can go. I don't want to.
There was nothing. I wasn't disappointed really with anything.
Yeah,
everything about it was awesome.
Well, let's break real quick. I want to get to the Whitney part of the interview. Here's our friend and pal Whitney McAllister. We spoke to her on Starcast. Let's hear what she has to say about All In. All right, guys, we are here live at StarCast after All In. I'm with the very wonderful, beautiful Whitney McAllister.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
So this is your first time ever really being on a podcast, right?
Yes, I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. It's nothing. Now, we've been, you know, social media friends for quite some time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the first time I ever saw your post, you met Shawn Michaels like 2 years ago.
I did.
And then I was like, ooh, a pretty wrestling fan that likes Shawn Michaels. I'm on a follower. And then you follow back, and there you go. And it's been like
the
rest is history. So tell me a little bit about, like, how you became a wrestling fan and what has brought you into, like, you know, this whole world, this whole newfound fame of being a, you know, having fans.
I've been watching wrestling since I was about 5. Growing up, it's actually my mother who got me into wrestling.
Really?
She was a huge Bret Hart fan.
Okay.
So we went to a live event in Springfield, Illinois. I live near there. And I remember we were sectioned up in the risers off of the floor, and there was a spot where, you know, back then they had the rails that you could reach through. Mm-hmm. And so there was a spot where he had fallen off the top rope and fell to the ground, and she left me up in my seat with my father and went down there to, like, just grab his hair, just, like, touch his hair.
Uh-huh, okay.
And I've just been hooked ever since, except I became a huge Shawn Michaels fan, which is
a bit of a family rivalry at that point.
So, but yes, that started it all. There has been no looking back since.
Now, Shawn, your all-time favorite, right?
Yes.
Still to this day.
The first time I met him, I was, like, in tears. At the time, I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
So I drove 19 hours.
Indianapolis you met him, right? Yeah.
Okay. I drove 19 hours, went through 3 different time zones, and I actually tweeted that I was doing so just to meet, like, my idol, and he retweeted it, and when I got up there, I don't like to, like, point myself out when I meet wrestlers, so I didn't say anything about it, but I went up there to get my picture, and he's like, oh my gosh, you're the girl from Twitter that drove, like, I can't believe you drove that far. And, you know, typically in a meet and greet, you get, like, 3 seconds.
Right, right.
Photo, hi, thanks, bye. He sat and talked to me for a good 10, 15 minutes. I kept, like, pulling away, trying to go, because I didn't want to upset anyone. And he's like, no, I got to make sure you get your money's worth. I can't believe you drove that far for me. And
that's pretty awesome. Sean's a good guy.
And I met him a second time after that, and he's like, I know you. So it's just little things like that. Like,
yeah.
That means everything to a wrestling fan.
Now, how does it feel? Because, I mean, I've noticed that you got some of the wrestlers that follow you and are friends with you. So was that like a big, oh my gosh, like they're liking my comments or following me or whatever?
I don't honestly know.
Yeah.
Just because I've done enough meet and greets where I just I feel comfortable. I think Sean's honestly the only one I've ever really felt like starstruck, and yeah. I don't mean that in like a disrespectful way, but I mean they're people.
Yeah, true, they are.
So I mean, and a lot of them are so sweet. I really haven't met one that's ever been rude or you know, angry, upset, anything like that.
I mean, I'll jokingly on the show, everybody knows that I will tout, you know, whoever it's following me or friends with me now or whatever, you know. But and it is cool, but at the same time, it's like, you know, there are people as well. And stuff, you're right about that. So, okay, so, you know, you've been, this past year alone, I mean, we both linked up with Collar and Elbow, so that uh-huh. they've helped out a lot with,
amazing,
you know,
for me.
Yeah, and I know that you've been to a lot of stuff we've both been to, from WrestleMania, yes. Money in the Bank, we're now All In. What's your experience like been in this past year going to all these events?
Collar and Elbow has pretty much changed my life with yeah. all of this, honestly. I honestly don't even remember how it happened. It just did. They asked if it was something I'd be interested in being a part of because they had somehow caught wind of me going to all the shows and doing mm-hmm. all of that. And yeah, now I've met incredible people, and you're in on it. You see
yeah.
how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only up. You can only go forward from there. So.
Big shout out to Al Snow. I mean, he's just amazing what he's done with that brand. I mean, there's other ones out there, Pro Wrestling Tees, and all these other ones out there, and they do great, but what I love about Collar and Elbow is that it's strictly a brand for wrestling.
It is.
And yes, you can have your own signature shirt, but you can also just wear Collar and Elbow. It's just, this is our brand. This
and
is
I'm
who we are.
I'm always so surprised by how many people want to like purchase from me and interact with me. I mean, because I'm just right. Joe Schmo from Illinois, you know.
Right.
So that's what I love about the wrestling community. Is so fabulous.
It is.
We are. We're one family. One big family.
We are.
I love it.
Somebody tweeted something to me today. Like, when you meet wrestling fans and it's a show where The Miz, Raj on, they were jumping in the ring all excited together, mm-hmm. like hugging. And I'm like, that's exactly what it is like.
I get goosebumps talking about it. Like,
when you meet people that you're like, what? You like wrestling? It's like all of a sudden you're connected. It's for life.
Yeah, you can't explain the feeling.
Yeah.
I've taken so many group photos here this weekend with people that I've just met this weekend that I have been friends with on Twitter for, you know, 6 months, a year, mm-hmm. 2 years, whatever. It's just, I don't know, I like to just put myself out there. I like to be social. I like to make
yeah.
relationships with people. And I think that helps. I mean...
Well, and the fact that you do go on, you do your live Twitter or Facebook stuff, or no, Instagram stuff, and you do those, and you have, you know, I don't know how many times we've chatted throughout that
yeah.
or whatever, and I think the first time we met was officially WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
And then, but it's just cool how wrestling brings it right together. So let's talk about a little bit about All In, okay?
Okay.
All right, you were at WrestleMania, we were
yes.
at Money in the Bank. Both of those were amazing shows.
Great shows.
Okay, what about All In compared to not having WWE? Compare that to those other shows. I mean,
just hearing the words All In gives me goosebumps.
Yes.
It was beyond incredible. There wasn't a match I didn't like. I was telling my friends earlier, I don't even think I saw like a botch, a misstep.
No,
I didn't
no.
see, it could not have been more perfect.
Yeah.
There
is one I remember, but they played it off so well. It was
yeah.
in the main event,
see?
And that was it.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah. And it's probably because where you were sitting compared to where I was sitting, I probably saw it.
I was in line in tears. I was
yeah.
so happy. Like the anticipation had just been building and building because they announced this in May.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, got tickets, and I've just been, I'm so sad it's over.
It had a feel, me and our buddy Clint over here, hey Clint, he's buddy Clint, we had a feel, we were talking, that it was kind of like a WCW look to it, but a NXT feel. So
you got everything.
Yes, you got everything.
Like,
you got the goofy entertainment
yes,
comedy stuff. You got the
stuff,
drama, the emotion.
The 80s-esque Hogan,
yes, Hogan stuff. Right.
I mean, yeah,
the whole
comedy.
And then the PG-13 rated R stuff with Joey
yes.
Ryan. You got that. I mean, you got all of that, a little bit of everything, and it was so good that you left going, oh man. And we remember there was like 2 hours into the show, and we still have 5 or 6 matches left, and we're going, this, but I mean, there's still more. We were excited. There were still 5
yes.
matches left. It wasn't like,
and I'm just like, how is this next match gonna compare to that one?
Right.
And it comes up. I'm like,
it did.
How it's so consistent.
The order of the
around.
Way they put the layout the card too was great because I was confused. But why is
I
this the main
so
event?
Confused.
Why is
yes.
this too? It was perfect. Like it did so well. I can't wait to rewatch it back on TV just to see how it looks
exactly.
on TV.
Exactly. And I hope they like sell it because
I want it. I want it. And I think they will. If all the
yeah.
DVDs, Blu-rays, I'll buy it. Even if I have a streaming version of it, I'll buy it
mm-hmm.
just because I want to own it. And I've got like every memorabilia I can think
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I want to relive that
you know?
Every day for
yeah.
as long as humanly possible.
It's cool to be a part of the first one. And I'm excited. I think I can see an All In 2 happening.
There has to be an All In 2.
And I can see them double or nothing, as Cody said. And that was a private moment. None of people saw that. I videoed it, so I'll eventually share it on the
so
podcast.
I was so teary-eyed at the end.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was too. I was emotional. It was very emotional.
It was perfect.
It was very emotional.
Huge props
Jericho,
to Bucks
and Jericho.
Cody.
I'm a huge Jericho mark. So
yeah.
Jericho popping up, you know, just, I mean, I went nuts. I mean, I marked out for that like crazy.
Yeah. It was,
and did you see what happened with him? Like, he flies in, or he comes in. He did a show last night in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And he flies in for Little Rock. He flies into there, gives it 5:30, shows up, does that scene, and then takes off and goes to Kansas City to do a Fozzy show that night.
Chris Jericho has changed the game.
He's amazing.
He has changed the game.
He'll be in my town.
Wrestling-wise, like wrestling, yeah. Music, the podcast, he's changed the game.
He has.
No comparison to
him. I'll see him in a couple of weeks, and I'm excited to see Fozzy again. But I love him. He always hangs out with the fans. He always gives back. It's amazing. He has changed the game. So on your scale, let's do a 5-star review of All In. What do you give it?
Oh my God, only 5? I can only give it 5?
Because that's the Dave Meltzer thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's 5 stars. Okay.
I hate to just be like, 5 stars, because it's All In, but there was not anything about it that I would have changed a thing.
Yeah.
A thing. It was perfect. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah. I agree. It was. I can't think of anything that was better.
I've been racking my brain for the past 24 hours just trying to figure out my favorite match.
Me and Clint were thinking, okay, WrestleMania. It was great, but we're like trying to compare like what was better, and it's almost like they're two separate worlds, but they're both so great that it was like, and WrestleMania just being there, but overall match to match, I still think.
Well, and not to knock WWE, because that's like my home.
Yeah,
but Mania was just so long that I have kind of trouble remembering like everything that happened. I have to refresh myself. Whereas this was like perfect.
It was perfect, right?
It was perfect. There was not too much.
Not too much. Good enough match. Now, one other thing too is you used to always say that you're a WWE only girl.
I was.
But here in the last few months, I've noticed you really have been coming more into indie. What changed that for you?
So I have a friend who works for the Las Vegas Fight Shop. His name's Otto. And he convinced me Mania Week to skip NXT
and go to the ROH show.
And Flip Gordon changed my life.
Okay.
Everything about that
man. I'm glad he got booked.
Oh, everything about that man is amazing. He is the most kind, athletic, charismatic man I think I've ever met in my life. And the ROH show blew me out of the water. I will forever think it was better than that NXT show Mania Week.
Yeah.
So sorry if I upset anyone with that. But.
No, I think it was a better show. I know people that went to that over the NXT show too.
So I was like, okay, so this is what's going on outside of the PG era, huh? So yeah. I was like, well, I've got to get a little bit more of this. So I've just kind of casually been making my way to some ROH shows around here, and there's like no turning back. I'm totally in with the indie wrestling. I love it. Same to Evolve and Progress. Amazing. I saw Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Before because he just signed with NXT, so I saw him wrestle.
He was at the Progress. He was at that show.
He was in the show.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, cool. I didn't know he was there.
Yeah.
So that was probably his last show before he got caught up.
And Tyler Bate, Trent Seven.
Okay. Yeah. I knew that match was going on.
Like, I'm learning still. I'm not like even here. There are some wrestlers where I'm like, I don't really know. But I mean, I will.
Our mutual friend Clint. He was the goofball that drove all the way up to show turn around and drive all the way home 5.5 hours. And then, but come to find out, I had 3 other friends that did the exact same thing.
So you missed out.
I'm the one that missed out. I was actually kind of pissed that I did. I should have did it for sure. So let's plug this stuff. You got you're on Instagram and Twitter, and it's W McAllister 8.
Just McAllister.
Oh, just 8. McAllister, yes. 8. Okay,
McAllister 8. Give me a follow. Check it out. I love to socialize with everyone. I go live fairly often, mostly on Wild Whitney Wednesdays.
Wild Whitney Wednesdays. Yeah.
Can I just say one more thing about All In?
Absolutely.
Joey Janelli, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Stole the show.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I would say.
He was at the Progress and Evolve shows.
Oh, he was at Progress. Okay.
I want to say he wrestled in Evolve, maybe. I don't really remember. It's been a while, but I thought him and Adam Page stole the show.
So that was your favorite match, then?
I think that was. I've thought about it all night, and there were just so many big names and big things going on, and I don't think that match is really, I mean, I don't know, it's All In, it's indie wrestling, it probably will get the credit it deserves, but I just want to throw it out there, they're definitely getting the credit for me.
How cool has it been at StarCast watching David Arquette get a tattoo?
I'm like,
you have Ric Flair.
Is this real life?
Right, like, right, exactly. This happened right in front of us a little bit ago, and it's like, what in the world?
He came over to the Fight Shop booth and was buying shirts.
Yeah. He's a huge, I mean, he's always been a wrestling fan, but it's so cool to see somebody like that, you know, that still loves it, still involved. He's actually wrestling tonight at some show here in Chicago. I wish I could go to it.
You know, I drove here, and I don't really have to go home for anything specific. I was just trying to, you know, catch up on sleep.
Right, exactly.
Before work on Tuesday, so maybe I should stick around.
The original plan was me to stay in until the next day, but I kind of have to go back now, but I'm kind of wishing I could have switched my plans around
again.
I've
asked so many people that I know that are going, I'm like, please send me, like, videos, photos. I need to see all of this. Frank the Clown and James Ellsworth.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. Did you see Frank's promo?
No, I did not.
Oh, you need to get to Twitter. His promo was incredible. And I'm shocked. No offense. I love him to pieces, but it was incredible. So,
well, I mean, he does date one of the greatest promos daughter, Mick Foley. So, I mean, you know, he probably learned from the best.
Editing, it was all I'm excited for him. I hope he does really well tonight.
So, all right. Well, I'm sure we'll catch you on social media.
Yes.
Let's give her a follow. And thanks for coming on. And I'm glad I was able. See, and you did great.
I know. I've been so nervous about this. I get asked to do these often. And my outlook is like, why? I'm like, it's just me. Like, why? Who cares what I think? You know what I mean? But
let's try to make this more often.
I know. You know, I'm being so weird about it.
Just every couple. And we can even, if it's done in person, we can also do...
can I get me a Wild Whitney Wednesday corner?
Yes. And then we could do like video, because we could do a video podcast for YouTube. We can do that, some of those. And
get me a show.
That way, if you're not, right. That way, if we're not able to meet up, at least we can still do it. Well, you're in Illinois.
No, it's been fun. This was more fun and relaxed than I thought. So
yeah. Yeah,
all right. I'll calm down a little bit on the anti-podcast. How's that?
Gotcha. All right. Thanks a lot. All right. So, that was a great time. We were able to hook up with Whitney. We saw her all weekend, but able to sit down and actually have a talk. And I'm glad we were Ringside was her first podcast she experienced. She enjoyed it. So she said it yourself. She might be on the show again. So
you
we'll
never
see.
Know. She said she didn't. She was so nervous at first, but then I think she got.
What was funny was that she said she was nervous. She did. She was a professional, man. I mean, she acted like it was. She does this all the time. So shout out to Whitney. Thanks again for coming on the show, and appreciate you coming on. And I'm sure, like I said, we'll have you on again. And you know, even if we have to do it from different Illinois and Kentucky, we have ways of doing it without being in person. But it's cool when you're in person to get together. I'm sure we'll see her again down the road at other shows, because she travels to a lot of shows too, as well as we do as well. So at least you do for sure.
Yes.
Which y'all were together at that
Progress. Actually, I think I might see her here in another couple of weeks.
Yeah, probably so. So maybe. You know, maybe have her on the show again then as well. I don't know. Anyway, so StarCast, we'll end the show on the last day of StarCast. I did a Jim Ross meet and greet. I was able to meet with him. He was great. Spent a good 5 to 7 minutes with me talking. We got to run into David Arquette again.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. You know, picture with him already. I got another one.
I missed him in New Orleans. I got him this.
Well, no, you saw him in New Orleans.
Yeah,
you just didn't go up to him. Which he clearly would have done it. Which is funny was that people paid to have a meet and greet with him, but he let us do pictures and stuff for free. But it is what it is, man. David Arquette's cool, and I've always been a big fan of his career too. So I'm glad he's getting back into wrestling. I would have loved to stay the entire went to the other show.
Yeah,
if we were staying, the original plan
Monday.
Was we were coming back till Monday, but then we had to change him at the week before. So if we were staying. We would have went to that show.
Yeah.
We would have went to that show. It was pretty cool. A lot of cool interactions, a lot of good people we talked to that day. And it was just a cool experience. And, I kind of sad that I was kind of sad it's all over. I mean, I was
able to meet the king of the podcast lately, Conrad Thompson.
You was able to meet Conrad Thompson. I was in line for Jim Ross, so I would have met him myself. So I'm a little disappointed you didn't get to meet Conrad Thompson. And shout out to Conrad, because he was the one that did all this StarCast stuff. He was involved. He set it all up. I mean, he wasn't doing it by himself, don't get me wrong. But shout out to Conrad. Did a great job. And you know what? I'm kind of sad. I heard that he says that he's not going to do it again. If there is another all-in, he won't be involved in StarCast again. I'm sad because – now, maybe somebody else will take over and do just as well. But, man, did he kill it. I thought he did a great job. And I'm really wishing he was involved. Who knows? I mean, that could be a year away.
Just saying that, and you never know.
He could be pulling a Jericho. Oh yeah, I'm never going to do it again. There he is. He's in charge of it all.
Yeah.
But shout out to Conrad, man. He did a great weekend, great show. All the stuff. Shout out to all the vendors that were there. All the people that made StarCast what it was. All the people that made All In what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks. I mean, they took something that just you thought that was impossible and made it possible. And, you know, it wasn't just 10,000 people. The actual count was 11,263 is what made it into All In. I'm so thankful that out of those 11,263, three of those people are me, you, and Katrina. We made it happen. We were there, and to be a part of that was pretty cool. It's just awesome, and I'm so, like I said, thankful to be a part of that. It's almost like I just can't wait I just can't wait for All In 2. I know they're going to announce it probably not until January or something. I'm okay with that.
January, February.
I'm hoping they keep it in Chicago because
It's centralized.
It's easier to get to. It's good stuff. I mean, yeah, if they want to go double or nothing, I get it. There's other places in Chicago that can hold more.
What is it, Allstate Arena?
Allstate Arena holds a little. Now, they might not get that because that's WB exclusive probably. Yeah. But that holds a few thousand more. I think United Center might hold more. I'm not sure. I have to talk to our friends. We have other friends in the Chicago area. Plus, I have family there. So I have to talk to see what exactly that could hold. Or you could probably look it up online. But so maybe United. But at the same time, that's more downtown. I'd rather have it in the suburbs, honestly.
Yeah, because it'd be easier to get to.
It's just I like the way they did it. I'm okay. I mean, do the Sears Center again. I'm fine with that. I mean, make it an event where it's a must. Like you've got to have a ticket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's one of those must see. And if you do it once a year, it's easier to build and change it up and have different matchups, different people. Because a lot of these guys that they put on the show, some of them they already knew about. A lot of them they saw as they were traveling the country for different indie shows, Ring of Honor shows,
yeah,
anything like that. That's how they got a lot of these guys.
The only person that I was going to say besides Conrad, I said, and a few others, the only person and Eric Bischoff, one person I definitely was sad I didn't get to run into or meet was Macaulay Culkin. Now, he wasn't around anywhere, but he was walking places you could.
I think people, they were selling his stuff too, folks.
They were. His podcast was there. He did like different stuff. You could have, there was chances people saw him at places and ran into him here or there. I just wish I could have ran into him somewhere. I mean, he wasn't in a booth, but I definitely in a heartbeat would have hung out with Macaulay. It would have been awesome. But anyways, StarCast was great. I hope they come back to Chicago, or if they pick another city, let it be somewhere centralized, Midwest even. You can go south to Atlanta or something, but I just think, you know, somewhere that's centrally located is perfect. Hey, come to Louisville. We'll take you. We got places that hold 20,000 seat arenas. So, you know, just it's great. I just don't want to go to L.A. I mean, L.A. was a rumored.
L.A., New York.
No, keep it simple, sweetie. Anyway, so that's the end of the show. Once again, shout out to Whitney McAllister for coming on the show as well. Clint, thank you for coming in.
No problem.
And filling in for J.K. And you know what? I'm going to say this right now. I'm shocked that J.K. and Jeremy has not seen All In. Now, maybe by the time we get to them on the show, they'll say they've seen it. But there's these big indie fans, and I'm using quotation marks. They try to get on me for not being this indie person, and they know all about wrestling, all about stuff, and they didn't watch the show. We're big UofL football fans, and it was a big UofL football game that day. But they played Alabama. We were going to get our butts smoked. I already knew that. I said, forget it. I got season tickets. It's in Orlando. I'll DVR it. I'll watch it later. Who cares? All In is a once in a lifetime event. You have to be a part of, have to be there.
Yeah.
And the fact that they even if they didn't want to watch it Saturday, there was other opportunities for them to watch it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They have not seen it yet almost a week later. You know what? Guys, I am disappointed in you. This is my pipe bomb right here this week. This is the pipe bomb. I'm disappointed in the guys that calls himself to be indie fans, calls himself to be this big, big, big follower, cares more about that than WWE, but yet alone, you have not seen the biggest independent show there is, All In. What a great show. You're missing out on that. Shame on you, guys. Shame on you for not being a part of that. That is the pipe bomb. We haven't had one in a few weeks. I'm putting it out on JK and Jeremy for not being the fans they say they are. Shame on you. That's it. Thanks for listening to the show. You can catch us all on the podcast avenues. You can get us on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio app, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or just go to ringsidepodcast.com. Anywhere you like and listen to your podcast, we are there. I promise you that. On the social media, you can find us on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook app. Ringside Podcast. Individually on Twitter, I'm at Daniel Spencer. Clint, you're on Twitter, you're at
ClintCurl09.
And you're also that on Instagram too as well, right?
I believe so.
And then Whitney McAllister, as we said earlier, she's at McAllister8 on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow her. And as always, in the meantime, in between time, you can catch us ringside. See ya.
Rhyme of strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you could be next. You better give respect.